It's good to have you here today, and thank you for joining me as we begin a brand new week together here on God Is. In a few minutes, we're going to return to our discussion about righteousness and what it means to be right with God. But as we begin, I want to pray to God and ask Him for what we need this week. If you follow Christ, please join with me in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us through another day. We give you thanks and praise for the gift of life. And we pray for those today who are finding life difficult. We pray for the poor, for the homeless, for those who are hungry and thirsty. We pray for the prisoner and for the person who is suffering from a physical illness. We also pray today for people with mental illness, for the depressed, the anxious, and the worried. We pray for men and women who are in marriages that are breaking down and where divorce is imminent. We pray for children that are struggling, perhaps children that are living in homes where there is divorce. Lord, have mercy on people who need your compassion today. I pray for each and every person listening to the sound of my voice, and I ask that all of them will believe in you by faith, and that you will draw all people to you this day and every day this week as we continue to learn who you are. And Lord, give me wisdom. I ask for clarity and conviction as I teach my friends more about what it means to be made righteous by you. I need you. I'm totally dependent on you, my master. So please lead me and guide me. Teach me what to say and what not to say. And I pray that you will take what is said and you will use it to clearly say to us who you are. And then may we all believe what it is that you say to us. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, as you know, if you've been with me, we're looking into this key word, righteousness, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. The verse reads as follows, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." The Apostle Paul is describing for the Roman Christians what the gospel of God is, and he says here that it is the righteousness of God. Make sure you circle that word righteousness in your Bible if you have not already done so. It's a key word in the book of Romans and essential in our understanding of who God is and what he does for us. Let me start this week by reminding you of what I have already said about righteousness, and I'll begin by reiterating my definition. I have said that righteousness is God making you right with God. Righteousness is God making you right with God. Remember the text. Paul says this is the righteousness of God. The righteousness belongs to God. It is God's righteousness, and he gives it to us. God makes us right with God. And then I made 4 points. First, we all require Christ's righteousness. Second, Christ makes us righteous. Third, we are made righteous through our faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And fourth, we must kill any attempt at self-righteousness. As usual, each of these insights were grounded in the scriptures, and so you'll want to get caught up if you missed some or all of last week's broadcasts. And the good news is this can be easily done by visiting the WEZE website and downloading for free the God Is podcasts. Just go to www.590amtheword.com and click podcasts. That's 590amtheword.com and click the link for podcasts and then quickly find God Is. Now, if any of you have a problem doing this or you find it complex in any way, just email me and I'll offer you my technical support. Now, if you know me, this is laughable because I barely know what I'm doing on the computer. But sometimes all you need to help someone else is just to be one small step ahead in understanding, and I seem to have managed that much. My email address is mark@markaswallow.com. That's mark@markaswallow.com. So write to me if you want to listen to any of the past broadcasts of God Is. Actually, write to me about anything. I welcome your comments, questions, and prayer requests. Okay, all of that being said, let's continue this week to understand what is God's righteousness. And building on what I have already said, I want to teach you a word that is deeply connected to the word righteousness. And this is a word that goes together with righteousness such that we cannot really talk about one without the other. And this other word is imputation. Imputation. Now, I understand that immediately when I use the word imputation, most people's eyes will glaze over and many of you will lose interest. Imputation? Really, Mark? On a Monday afternoon, that's what you're going to talk about? And I get it. This is not a word that we use in everyday conversation. It sounds boring. It is theological, but it's also completely biblical. And so what I want to do is to define this word for you such that you can understand it and then show you how it is related to righteousness. And you're just going to have to take my word for it up front. You're going to have to trust me that when you understand imputation, then you will understand why righteousness is so important. If I avoid a discussion on imputation, then I have failed you in describing the biblical meaning of righteousness. But, admittedly, I have my work cut out for me because imputation doesn't sound very interesting. To begin with, let me actually spell imputation for you. I-M-P-U-T-A-T-I-O-N. And I'll post this on the God Is W-E-Z-E Facebook and Twitter pages so that you can actually see it. Just go to God Is W-E-Z-E Facebook and Twitter and it will be there. Imputation. Second, the word imputation is an accounting term. No wonder it sounds boring, right? And I mean this with no offense to actual accountants listening. We get this word imputation from Latin, and it means to apply to one's account. To apply to one's account. Think of it this way. Expenses are debited from an account, and income is credited to an account. So let's say you sit down at the end of the month and you're looking over your bank account statement and you see that you took out certain amounts of money to pay your expenses. Well, those dollar amounts are debited from your account. They are subtracted and they are taken away. But then you look over your account and you see that your monthly salary was credited to your account. That amount is added. That's money that came into your bank account. The money that went out was debited, and the money that came in was credited. Well, likewise, this is what God does in salvation. This is how God makes us holy. Imputation. So here now, in my own words, is what imputation means as it is used in Scripture. Imputation is God giving Christ your sin, and God giving you Christ's righteousness. I'll repeat that. Imputation is God giving Christ your sin, and God giving you Christ's righteousness. God gives Christ your sin. God takes away your sin and gives it to Christ on the cross. God debited your sin. God subtracted your sin from you. And also, God gave you Christ's righteousness. God credited Christ's righteousness to you. God added Christ's righteousness to you. That's what imputation means biblically and theologically as related to righteousness. And importantly, when does the imputation happen? When you have put your faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. At the point when you and I experience God's salvation, God gave Christ our sin, and God gave us Christ's righteousness. There's an accounting. There is subtraction, the forgiveness of sin, but there is also addition, Christ's righteousness. And we all require both in order to be saved. We require both in order for God to consider us holy as He is holy. Now don't worry, I'll remind you of this as we move along, because I want to describe this divine process to you from the Scriptures over the next couple of days. I want to make certain that you see this in the Bible, because that is where God communicates who He is and what He is doing. Imputation is not my idea or any theologian's idea. It is God's idea. It originates with God. And in order to understand righteousness, we have to understand imputation. So that you see imputation in the Scripture, I'm first going to describe how God gave Christ our sin. And then after I have described how God gave Christ our sin, then I will describe how God gave us Christ's righteousness. So I'll do one first, and then I'll talk about the other. And to do the first, let me reread for you a scripture that we looked at last week. I'd like for 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 to become very familiar to you. It's loaded with meaning. This is a real gem. Listen now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. This verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21, describes the imputation of our sins to Jesus Christ and the imputation of Christ's righteousness to us. Consider with me the first half of the verse. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. This verse describes the first part, God giving Christ your sin. Jesus knew no sin. That means, as we know, that Jesus Christ himself never ever sinned. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was innocent. And even on the cross, Jesus remained perfect. It is not accurate to say that Jesus became a sinner. No, that's heresy. That's false teaching. Jesus did not become a sinner. All that happened on the cross was that God treated Jesus as if he was guilty of the sins of all people who would ever believe by faith in Jesus Christ, a people like you and me, if you're a Christ follower. God poured his wrath for sin on Jesus as if Jesus were the sinner, even though Jesus was not the sinner. I am the sinner, but my sin was given to Jesus. You are the sinner, but your sin was given to Jesus. That's the first part of imputation. Imputation is God giving Christ our sin. And tomorrow, I'll say more about this. So join me then, for God is...